This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to Leicester Fan TV, with special thanks to our pals at ADT Taxis, Beatman, Piglet's Pantry, Tiger, Leicester Garage Conversions, Pink Vehicle Leasing, Hologram, The Fox's Arms, Moyer Wade Interiors, and our chosen charity, Memphis UK. We bring you the fans' views on the match each week, and your views matter to us. Join the fans debate each match with us. Follow us at Leicester Fan TV.
Good evening. Welcome to Leicester Fan TV. My name's Phil. You are tonight watching the Fox's Tail Show. Tom can't make it tonight, so I've stepped into his shoes and I will try and fill them as good as Tom does it. What a win it was on Sunday against Manchester City. Leicester flying high. But tonight it is time to take one of our trips down memory lane. We've got what is a very famous Leicester player. Didn't play for us, sadly, for many games, but lots of fans still mention Gary Coatsworth today in some of the comments we have. So Gary is going to be joining us very, very shortly. So whatever questions you've got for Gary, he is going to be with us live. We can put them to him. Let's get Sinky on very briefly. Sinky, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Still feeling good after Sunday, like everybody else.
Yeah, indeed. John, indeed. We've got Gary Coatsworth, who you remember very well, because just before we bring him on, you were the BBC commentator. Well, you were behind the goal, weren't you, that day? Don't tell us too much yet.
Yeah, at that stage, I was a reporter, so I was behind the goal where Walshy scored.
So you were like the roving mic, were you?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Is that
right.
What they call it? Right, yeah. Well, before we get into your stories about that day, let's add in Gary, because he's the one we all want to speak to. Here he is, Gary.
Evening.
Good evening to you. Thanks very much for joining us. How are you?
No bother. I'm fine, thanks.
Fine, doing good. Gary, let's go back. I mean, you were at Leicester for, it was about three seasons back in the early to mid-90s, wasn't it? 91 to 94?
Yeah, will have been around about then.
But just before we get to your Leicester career, obviously you started sort of, your first sort of few appearances were for Barnsley and then Darlington, weren't they?
It was, yeah. I was at Barnsley for a couple of years. Then I got released from there and Brian Little took us to Darlington.
And you had a couple of seasons at Darlington, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. I first signed when they went in the conference. Then we won the conference in Division 4. Then Brian left to take up Leicester. Then he came in for us around about October time, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Gary, that's normally one of the first questions we ask ex-players. What brought you to Leicester? But it was clearly that Brian Little connection.
Oh yeah, definitely. It was just the ambition in that he had and the way he come across, and he was just a great manager to play for.
Yeah, indeed. John?
And he really turned things round, didn't he? Not only at the club, but at the training ground. I remember the pool table disappearing and so on. And
And
obviously he'd had the experience of playoffs in the previous 2 years. So I guess there was some determination when it came to playing Derby.
Oh, it was that, especially Derby. I think it was one of the biggest games for us, really. And to beat them, I think it was even better.
I mean, Gary, that season we have leapt straight onto the Derby playoff final, which is probably one of your most famous moments in a Leicester shirt. I mean, for myself as a fan, and, you know, I've said this a few times, that 1994 playoff final was actually better than Leicester winning the Premier League, if I'm honest. That was like the best ever one-off match I've been to in 40-odd years. So yeah. Being part of it as a player, was it quite a special day?
It was. When people see it, try and take as much in as you can, they're right, because you forget. And the main thing I always remember, it was walking out the tunnel and the sound of the supporters, it was just deafening, and you could feel it as though it was vibrating through your chest. It was that loud and it was overwhelming, really.
Yeah, and looking at the starting 11, you started almost as a right wing back, didn't you? Because they played three at the back with Grayson, Willis, and Carey, with Whitlow on the other side. Were you expected to play like a wing back then, do you think?
Well, that's we like to Brian Little. That's the way he liked to play mainly. He done that all the way through Darlington, and I played in that position there for him as well. And he normally plays with the left-sided one with a winger in front, or on the right-sided one, it's just by yourself, really, up and down. So yeah. he had the set plans. He had planned out all the way.
And, of course, you got an assist on the first goal. You lobbed it forward. Walsh headed it down, and somehow Williams bobbed underneath it on the line.
Just when you watch it, you still kind of believe it.
No, exactly.
I know. My brother-in-law is a Derby fan, and even, what is it, we're 26 years after, and I still taunt him about Paul Williams for some reason ducking down under it. No idea what he was doing. Still, we'll take it. Obviously, you say walking out in front of the fans, the playoff finals are so special because Wembley is absolutely packed. I think there was 80,000 just about there that day. It is 40,000 Leicester fans, which is more than we get at the King Power now. So it was an incredible atmosphere, Gary.
Oh, it was a great atmosphere. And like I say, that's the main thing I can remember. It's coming out that tunnel. And as soon as I see you coming out, was the noise. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was frightening.
What did you think? We spoke with Brian Little a couple of weeks ago on here. We interviewed with him and had a great chat with him. He said that day, he felt his job was on the line a little bit. And he said when he made that masterstroke, as it turns out, but he said he didn't have no ideas about putting Walshy up front. What did you think when you saw Steve Walsh pretty much hobble into the team and go up front?
I think with Steve, he'll always give 110%. He'll run through a brick wall for Leicester. And I think he'd give you that that aggression and that up front. Like, you knew if you put a ball in the box, he would be on it. And it proved throughout the season he could finish. He played up front a few times during the season and he scored loads of goals.
Yeah, and of course, for the second goal, Ian Ormondroyd had a big part to play in that, didn't he? Crossed in from Joachim, I guess, came off the bench. And good save from the keeper initially, wasn't it?
It was a great save, either. Then Waller was in the right place at the right time again.
So, John, you remember that goal, John, because that was that the goal you were behind?
Yeah, I was behind
the goal for reporting.
Well, she ran directly towards me. I actually put my arms up because I thought he was going to run into me, but his eyes had gone completely. he ran to the crowd to celebrate. And I started celebrating and got told off by the stewards. I just ignored them because I didn't care then, to be honest. We were 2-1 up. And it was terrific, you know. I think Joachim, Gary, came off the bench, didn't he?
I think so, from what I can remember.
Yeah, it wasn't in the starting 11. I remember that.
Yeah.
Gary, is it one of those? Is it one of those days where you go, blimey, such a dramatic day, but I, you know, struggle to remember much about what was going on, just being in the middle of it all.
It is, like I say, it's like people always say, when you talk to people who've been there and done it, they'll always say, try and take in as much as you can, because you'll forget in the right. Like I say, the main part was walking out. For me, that's all I can remember.
I remember you said to me afterwards, and I don't know what I said to you, but later on you took issue with me about something I'd said to you at the time, after the game. But I don't remember what it was, though. But we didn't fall out or anything, but we just had a laugh about it later, I think.
It sounds like you two have got no memory at all about anything to do with the day.
I remember, sir, I think with those, Phil, you just remember certain things.
Yes.
It is,
I mean, Gary, something that most Leicester fans, and I said in the intro, people still talk about you today, Gary, in Leicester, when we do our post chats about what's going on now, because people still say, we need a Gary Coatsworth to get stuck in there. You didn't take many prisoners, did you?
Probably not, but it's like I've done something.
Can John, can you hear Gary? I think we've just lost him.
Frozen on us, actually.
Gary, if you can hear us, see if you can click back in.
I'm there. The more physical it was, I think the more comfortable I felt. I enjoyed it when it was like that. And I enjoyed it when the support of the away fans were getting on me back, because I thought, I must be doing something right.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was, Gary. I think that's why fans still remember you now, after all this time, is the fact that you didn't take many prisoners and you did get stuck in. And that is, fans will forgive so many things when they see a player just, you know, play with pride and play with 100%. And that was the sort of player I think you were at Leicester.
Oh, yes. I always say, I would always give 110% and put my foot, my head, whatever it need be, in to stop a goal.
I've got a question here for you, or a memory from Ian Barron, who says he's a Darlington fan. And he says, I can remember that balmy, hot day at Welling. Thanks so much. Do you want to tell us about that? Do you remember that?
What was the goal you scored? The goal I scored when it took Darlington back in the league. I remember going up for the header. Going in, then I think I jumped in the crowd after that. So a big
fan's favourite up there at Darlington. Chris Leonard says, and again, you did score 4 goals for Leicester, and he's saying about that goal against Luton. Somebody's talking about a worldie as well. Is it the same one?
Somebody's talking about what?
Well, what was your goal against Luton? Do you remember?
I do that one because I get reminded of it, like, quite a bit at work as well. I remember, I think it was either Gavin Moore or Kevin Poole in goal. They kicked it off the floor from out of the box. And I think Speedo went up for a header. And I was coming on to it from midfield, and it just come back, just right, just sat right to volley it. And luckily it went in the bottom corner.
Nice.
Here's another question for you. Keith says, Gary, what happened to your tash?
It was a good one, that one, though, wasn't it?
It was a good tash. Was it long gone?
I shaved that off a few years ago. I think that went with me hair.
Yeah, we've all been there.
I've got another one. Keith says, Mickey Whitlow and Colin Hill used to say you're a bit of a lightweight on the beer. Can you confirm this?
I probably I didn't drink much.
Excellent. And I've got another one from Frankie the Fox, and this is something we want to get onto. He says, how are you now, Gary? Are you still involved in football? What was life? Because obviously you left Leicester, you picked up pretty much you didn't play much after Leicester, did you? You had an injury right when you started at Leicester. And then an injury sort of ended your career, didn't it?
Well, what happened when I signed for Leicester, I think when I made my debut, or a few games after, I snapped my cruciate. And I went in for an operation for my cartilage and found out my cartilage was okay, but my cruciate had snapped. So I had an operation for that, out for a few months with that. Then I think it was leading up to the playoff final, and I had trouble with my ankle. Kept after the game, it was all stiff and all that. And what had happened is an assisted burst and went through the joint. So I had that removed, but it didn't improve. It just got worse. So I decided to call it a day. One of the probably the biggest decisions I've had to make.
And what was life like after football, Gary? What have you done since your footballing career?
Well, I come back. I moved back to Sunderland. I played with Spennymoor for a bit. Then I ended up working at Nissan. From there, I've worked my way up to supervisor. And hopefully in about another 3-4 years' time, I'll be looking to retire.
And that's where you are now, Gary? Still working up at Nissan?
I'm still there now, aye.
Still been there now?
About 20, 25, 26 years in there now.
Yeah. Long time. I've got another question for you here. And Sinky, get ready for you can ask a question in a minute. But Keith says he used to love the atmosphere as a fan at Filbert Street. Gary, what's your memories of Filbert Street and how do you think empty grounds will be affecting teams all around the country playing like that?
Oh, the fans was unbelievable. Like I always come across, they're always friendly, supported you. And like I say, and I think one of the biggest success when you look at the while we were there, even in the reserves, you were getting 10,000 in the new stand when they set up the...
The Carling stand.
When they set up that. It was just great. Like, for reserve game, and you're getting that, but I just couldn't imagine playing in front of nobody. It was just like having a practice match.
And could I ask about your memories after the game had finished? Because for me, I was behind the goal, and... Colin Gibson came towards me and I started interviewing him, but I was not in the right area. So I was actually being dragged off the pitch by a steward while I was doing the interview. and then obviously we went down in the tunnel and everybody was kind of very vocal about and celebrating. But what do you remember about once the game had actually been, the final whistle had gone?
Well, it was one of them where, when you're sitting on the edge of your seat and you're just waiting for the final whistle there. To go on the pitch with the rest of the lads and things like that. And then when it had finished and went down the tunnel, it was, like you say, it was all boisterous and things like that.
Yeah.
And we went back to the hotel and we had a party.
Somebody's just asked, Gary, who was the joker in the pack out the lads in the team while you were there? Who used to mess around and lark around?
Phil G, me, Phil G, Colin Gibson used to have a laugh.
Yeah.
We used to send, like, Colin was was older than me. So I used to send them saga brochures through to his house with his front teeth blacked out and that. And he used to send me stuff. So we used to have a good laugh.
Gary, who did you stay room with when you went on away days?
It was Jimmy Willis.
Was it? Yeah.
Me and Jimmy used to room together at Darlington. Then when he came to Leicester, we were rooming together then. When I first went, it was me and Kevin Poole. And then went to me and Jimmy.
Yeah, good accent for Jimmy Willis, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, great, great. Jimmy knows everything about football. I tell you, you can ask him something and he knows the statistics and everything.
He's a real stato, is he?
Oh, he is, aye. Knows everything. Football mad, Jimmy was. Always give 100%.
Yeah. Another question for you, Gary. While you were there with that team at Leicester between 91 and 94, who was probably the best player in the team that you played with? Most skillful?
You're looking at like Steve Thompson, David Oldfield, yeah. Colin Hill. Colin Hill was a great professional, Colin. And then you've got likes of Gibbo and that. And then you had Julian coming through the ranks then. So there was quite a few who were skillful. And you had the ones who was you had the people who could pass the ball, and you've got the people who could win the ball. So there was a good mixture.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. Do you still keep in touch with any of that era of players, Gary?
I've still got, Phil G, keep in touch with Phil, and there's Jimmy, Michael Trotter, and I've got Steve Walsh on me on the Facebook and that.
Yes.
Indeed. Somebody's asked, I'll try and get it up on screen. Andy Meadows says, I think I know the answer to this one, but which team do you support?
To be honest, I always look to see how Leicester Darlington's getting on. Then I look at Sunderland.
Yeah, well, are you from Sunderland through and through?
I'm from Sunderland originally, yeah.
So were they your boyhood team?
They were, but gone downhill since.
Hey, well, look, we've all been down in League One. Leicester have shown now you can come back up. Did you ever think, being an ex-Leicester player, that Leicester could go on and win the Premier League ever, Gary?
To be honest, I would say no. I thought they would do well and stay up and like mid-table, but they've just proved everybody wrong, and they've got a great team now at the minute.
Where do you think a team like Leicester could not finish this season? But I mean, the club is trying to. It's got aspirations to be a top six club, be one of the big six club. Do you think a team like Leicester can actually break that top six?
Well, the way they're going at the minute, I can see it being up there, very close to the top six, with the people who are signing and the other quality players are fetching in. And they've proven, I think, over the last 3-4 years.
And who do you think could win the Premier League? This is what Keith wants to know. Who do you think would be the top three this year? I think you need to stick
top
Leicester
three.
In there as one of them, Gary. You don't have to say they're going to win it. We're not that
now. I think, to be honest, I enjoyed Liverpool when I think Jurgen Klopp's a great manager.
Yes.
And it was nice to see a different team win it. But I think they were going to go on for the next few years to be up the top, either winning or runners up. Then you've got like some Man City and Chelsea and Man United and that.
I mean, talking of Jurgen Klopp, when we chatted with Brian Little the other week, he came across as such, he felt like he was the sort of manager possibly that you would run through walls for. How was he as a manager for you? Obviously, you played for him at two clubs. What sort of style did he have with you, Gary?
Oh, I've got every respect for Brian. He'd done wonders for me. He helped us. And like you say, you would run through a brick wall for him. He made training was very enjoyable. It mixed it up every training session with something different, with like John Gregory and Alan Evans. And everybody you spoke to had nothing but respect for him, all from Darlington all the way through. And everybody I think would run through a brick wall for him. Everybody give 110%.
And I think from a media point of view, Phil, as well, he was very easy to deal with. Always had a good conversation with him. He was always very honest and straightforward. And I think from a media point of view, he was just the same.
Well, yeah. Definitely. To be honest, all the years like I played for him, I don't think I ever saw him lose his temper once. Not like some other managers, I suppose, where if we're not playing well, he would just go through where we're going wrong and put it right.
Yeah, I remember he told me off once. Well, he didn't tell me off. He said, goodness me, Cinco, you lots of difficult questions there after the interview. But, you know, he didn't kind of shy out of it. He answered the questions.
Oh, yeah, he answered the questions. But the thing is, like, I think with all, everywhere time, he made it enjoy, even when, as soon as you step through the gates, it was enjoyable. You get fined and things like that.
Yeah.
But he always finds you, I think, with a smile on his face and a poem.
Yeah. John Gregory was quite good. You had to get the right shoe wear on, didn't you, when you went into the training?
Oh, wear. Yeah. You had to be the right dress code. Yeah. No, you had to wear flip-flops. You weren't allowed bare feet on the ground.
That's right, yeah.
Clean shaven. You had to be clean shaven for match days and you had to be on time.
Was it both Brian Little and John Gregory sort of on the training ground with you? Or was it more, did they take different roles with you, Gary?
I think it was John Gregory, Alan Evans and Brian Little. And Brian was out as much as he could. Yeah, I suppose he had some other things to do and things like that. But he was out there and he used to take training quite a bit with John and Alan. And it was all different. We, like with John and Alan, used to be out before the session started. We used to have a game of like head tennis in the gym or something like that from about 9 o'clock.
And that was, of course, up at Beaver Drive, which is going to be built on very soon. That is going, I don't know if you've seen any of the Leicester plans, they're spending £100 million on a new training ground, which is going to be perhaps one of the best in Europe, Gary.
I seen that a few months ago, and I just, when I seen it, I thought it was unbelievable.
Yeah, little old Leicester got that.
You look how far they've come now to what they were, to where we were, and that, and they've come a very long way in a short period of time, really.
Yeah, it's a different world, isn't it, Gary? Listen, I'd like to say thanks a lot from all the fans who've been watching. We've had loads of comments. It's been great to get you on. And you are still a fan's favourite. As I say, we still mention get it stuck in a bit like Gary Coatsworth would do, even nowadays. So it's been a pleasure to have you on.
No, yeah, brother. It's been great.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gary.
Good luck.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, bye.
Brilliant. That's right. Great.
Bye.
Thanks. That was great to get Gary Coatsworth on. Like I say, fans still talk about him to this day. For somebody who didn't, you know, played, I think, what was it, 30-odd games, scored 4 goals. He's just one of those where fans took to him because he got stuck in a bit.
Yeah, and he was a very likeable character as well. So, yeah, I think any player that gets stuck in and shows commitment like he did, the fans are always going to take to, aren't they? And it was great to talk to him, wasn't it? And he's obviously doing well in his job up there. But as you say, great memories of certainly the 94 final.
Brilliant. Thanks, John. Thanks a lot for joining us. We'll see you soon.
Okay, mate. Cheers.
Thanks, John, for joining us. And thanks for all your comments tonight, especially thanks for Gary Coatsworth for coming on. That was great to have him on. Hopefully, a little message to Tom if he gets to watch this. Hope your dad's getting better, mate. And we'll see you all soon. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Thursday night, is the Fan Zone show where we've got Lox is hosting it. He's going to be joined with a West Ham fan TV group. And Josh, of course, they'll be talking about the game coming up, Leicester v West Ham, and looking at the Fantasy Football League. See how you're doing. Hopefully you're doing well on that. My name's Phil. This is Leicester Fan TV. Thanks to all the people who helped bring us Leicester Fan TV.
Welcome to Leicester Fan TV. With special thanks to our pals at ADT Taxis, Eatman, Piglet's Pantry, Tiger, Leicester Garage Conversions, Pink Vehicle Leasing, Hologram, The Fox's Arms, Moyer Wade Interiors, and our chosen charity, Memphis UK. We bring you the fans' views on the match each week, and your views matter to us. Join the fans' debate each match with us. Follow us at Leicester Fan TV.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.